Welcome to a special series featuring American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker, Pastor Richard O. Phil. This is part three, and our topic today is entitled, More Than a Day Off. Once again, frankly speaking, here is Pastor Richard O. Phil.
I'd like to begin this presentation by inviting you to read with me the text that many of us know by heart. It's found in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. You remember how it goes? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, I have been raised in the home of a Sabbath-keeping family. I can't remember a time in which we didn't go to Sabbath school and to church on Saturday. But for some, maybe even for some of you who are watching just now, it wasn't always that way. You heard about the Sabbath, and you made your decision, being convicted of the Holy Spirit, to keep it. Maybe when you decided to keep the Sabbath, you even lost your job. Maybe you even were thrown out of your family. In fact, some may still be persecuted because of their conviction to keep the Sabbath. Now, maybe for you, there's been no problem since you made your decision. But for others, especially those of us who've been in it a long, long time, the Sabbath can become, I shouldn't use these words, a burden. It can leave us guilty. It can be a frustrating experience. You see, it's much easier to know what we shouldn't do on Sabbath, what we should do on Sabbath. I remember when we were children, we got ready for the Sabbath on Friday. Do you remember those days? Mother used to say, now let's get ready for Sabbath. Polish your shoes. Make sure that your pants are pressed. And I can always remember seeing Mother scurrying around the house and cleaning up and cooking and preparing those special things that we would eat on Sabbath. But could it be that in the ensuing years, with the rapid pace of life, we've lost something of getting ready for the Sabbath? You know, excuse now some of my sound effects. This is a little bit far out, but I think if I do this, you'll understand. You know, I think for some of us, the Sabbath has become a red light in the journey of life. It's as if in our lives we are going down the road to where? To nowhere, let's say. We're going down the road to nowhere, but we're trying to get there as fast as we can. And then we come along and we see that there are traffic signals along the way, and we say, boy, I hope they stay green. I'm in a hurry. But wouldn't you know it, how often does it happen? Just as you're getting to the traffic light, it turns yellow and then red, and we have to go and put on the brakes. And you know, we sit there, especially depending on how big a hurry we're in, and we sit there thinking, oh, I hope the light hurry up and changes. We see first one side go and then another side go. We see the turn light and we begin to look at our watches and we say, this is the longest light in town. And then just as soon as the light goes green, we get the gun and we go back on our journey. No, some of us are going so fast sometimes on our journey through life that when the red light appears before us, we hit the brakes so hard that we skid into the intersection. Do you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You see, the Sabbath has become for many of us a red light. And a time in which we have to stop life and wait until we can get on with it. I was talking to a person who has only been a Seventh-day Adventist in recent years. And he said, you know, nobody ever told me how I should keep the Sabbath. He said, we're just kind of winging it. That's one point of view. There are others who are doing what we might call creative Sabbath keeping. Now, I say that with tongue in cheek. They're taking a more relaxed approach. You've heard them. They'll say, shall we go out to eat at a restaurant? And then, lest you misunderstand, they say, well, you know, this is Sabbath and my wife's had to cook all week, or she's been working all week, and we can keep the Sabbath better by going out to eat. Others are doing creative Sabbath keeping by going swimming, going to the beach. For them, you see, the Sabbath is just a day off. But I think it's much more than a day off, and it's for that reason that we have entitled this presentation More Than a Day Off. Jesus, in Matthew 11, verse 28, said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I can tell you this. I work hard. Not only do I work, but I feel the pressures of life. I feel heavy laden. But listen to the invitation of Jesus. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. I need that rest. Not only physically, but spiritually. In Hebrews 9, or rather in Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says, "Obtaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." We're people of God, aren't we? "Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest." I have felt simply that there's something very special about the Sabbath. Something that even after a lifetime being with the Sabbath, and something after a lifetime of trying to keep the Sabbath, that I've been missing. And with God's help and by His grace, I want to find that. Now, in order to know what we should do on the Sabbath, now remember what I said, it's easy to know what not to do. We should think about what does the Sabbath mean. Now, some of the evangelists, in teaching about the Sabbath, refer to it as Adam's mother's birthday. Have you ever heard that? Well, do you know what they're talking about? That God created the earth in 6 days, and that He rested on the seventh day. therefore, seventh day is the earth's birthday? But you know, I think that the Sabbath is much more than a birthday. And I'll tell you why. Because when I think of the emphasis on our birthdays, when it's your birthday, who is the center of it anyway? You bet. It's on me. We say, it's my birthday. I'll tell you what I want for my birthday. You see, a birthday is a very self-centered thing. It's for that reason that I think the Sabbath is more than a birthday. To me, when I've thought about it, especially recently, I think that the Sabbath is more like an anniversary. You know what I'm saying? Where a birthday tends to be centered on me, myself, and I, a wedding anniversary is about us, my wife and me. You see where I'm going? You see, the Sabbath is not about Saturday. The Sabbath is about me and God. About you and God. And your relationship to Him. Wedding anniversaries are for married people. That's why the Sabbath isn't for everybody. You say, what are you saying, Pastor O'Phil? Did I hear you right? Yes, you did. The Sabbath isn't for everybody. The Scripture says, the Sabbath shall be a sign between me and you that I am the Lord who doth sanctify you. You see where I'm going? See, the world doesn't need the Sabbath until it gets Jesus. When we get Jesus, then the Sabbath begins to be an anniversary, something very special between Him and us. Jesus Himself said that He was the Lord of the Sabbath. When you're in love, wedding anniversaries are such special events. You know, a person looks forward to his anniversary. At least when it's coming, one says, well, honey, what are we going to do for our anniversary this year? And husbands, if you want to get in trouble with your wife, just forget your anniversary. Now, anniversaries, wedding anniversaries, only come once a year. God knew that we would need to have an anniversary with Him that was much more often than once a year. Listen, God knows what being in the world is like. He knows of the world. He knows the temptations and the trials and the tribulations through which I pass. And therefore, listen to me now, He has spaced it just right. No matter what problems I have in my life, no matter what difficulties I encounter, I'm never more than 6 days away from an anniversary with Him. God knew that we would need quality time with Him. And so He's brought the Sabbath to us once a week. Every seventh day is a time for Him. Now, I'm going to just share with you what Betty and I are doing in our home to make the Sabbath a blessed event. Remember, I said just a few minutes ago that in the hurry and scurry of modern life, the Sabbath has become to be an interruption. Something that we wish we could get over soon, or something that seems to be our journey to nowhere. I want to challenge you with this thought, that the Sabbath was not meant by God to interruption, but rather to be a destination. It was almost as if that we could say, yes, God, I'll spend a week doing the work that you've given me to do, as long as you'll be waiting for me, as long as you'll give me, and I'll give you quality time on the seventh day. Let me tell you what Betty and I are doing to bring the blessing of the Sabbath anniversary into our lives. In the first place now, I realize that some of the things I'm going to suggest you may not be able to implement in your life, because it just could be that you are coming back home on Friday just about sunset, that you don't have time to get ready for Sabbath on Friday. But if that's the case, don't miss the blessing. Remember, half the joy, half the fun of it is getting ready for the Sabbath to come. That's why the Scripture refers to Friday as the day of preparation. So you may have to begin to prepare for the Sabbath on Thursday. Well, back to my own experience, the experience of my own home. I have decided that as far as possible, I will not do anything on Friday afternoon that is directly related to preparing for the Sabbath. This means that although I may have several hours free under certain conditions, I will not start a project around the house that I could have to finish on Sunday, or that I could do on Sunday if I would just wait. In other words, I will make the focus of my energies and of my time towards the setting of the sun and the coming of Sabbath. Therefore, you know, it's just like the old days. I've been spending time on Friday afternoon pressing my clothes, just like when I was a little child, polishing my shoes, getting my bath. I'm cleaning the house, arranging things. You see, the Sabbath is such a special time. I want to be ready for it when it comes. And I want to tell you what a joy it's been for me. Because now, instead of the sunset being an interruption of my activities, I am now working towards that event. And I want to say it's pretty nice to be laying on the couch with your feet propped up, and to be resting as that day of rest comes upon the world. Now, on Saturday night, or I should say on Friday night, we have developed a bit of a family tradition, and I want to tell you about it. And I won't say that you should do the same thing, but I do encourage you to develop a Friday night, coming of the Sabbath, family tradition. Here's what we do. Believe it or not, we have our Friday night meal in the dining room. That's where we have our sort of formal meal. We put a tablecloth on the table. We set our glass dishes on the table. We put our finest stainless, you thought I was going to say silver, didn't you? We put our finest stainless around. I put napkins. I will get ready for the finest presentation for a meal that I can make. And then I will set candles on the table. In fact, I have on Friday, I set candles at various places throughout the house. You might say to me, but Pastor Phil, what are you, some kind of mystic or something? Oh, listen, candlelight has a very special significance. Candles were used, have been used in worship from the beginning of time. In fact, when I light those candles, I am reminded of two things. That Jesus is the what? The light of the world. And I'm also reminded when I light those candles that I'm supposed to what? Let my light shine. And so, if you were to come to my house on Friday night, there you would find the table set in this finest form. And what we do, we bring the family to sit down around the table. Now, I have 4 grown children. I have a couple who live near me, a couple of children. So as often as they can be with, we will have them at the Friday night supper. And you know what we do first? And I don't know if everybody would want to do this. We spend, oh, what should I say, 5 or sometimes 10 or sometimes more minutes singing. In fact, when none of the children are there and it's just Betty, she and I sing together. Now, I must admit, it doesn't sound too good, but at least we're singing as the hours of the Sabbath approach to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so first we sing, and then we sing, "Don't Forget the Sabbath." You remember that song that we learned when we were in Sabbath school? "Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God has blessed." Anyway, that's the song we sing. And then we repeat the 4th commandment. After we have done this, it's a little bit like a ceremony, isn't it? After we have done this, we then bow our heads and I will offer the blessing on the food. I'm going to tell you what we eat every Friday night. You won't believe this, but we have pizza. Yes, you thought I was going to say something exotic. My wife makes it. She makes it herself. It's very special. You should see my special vegetable pizzas. They're delicious. But anyway, that's the way that we begin the Sabbath, with the candlelight, with the song, with the scripture, and with the fellowship around the table. And then during the evening, we have a family emphasis. Sometimes we watch family slides. Other times we sing together. Other times we just talk together. See, the Sabbath hours have come and we're in the mode to honor God. Now, on Sabbath morning, there's usually no problem in knowing what we should do, because the Sabbath morning is taken up in getting ready to go to church. Now, I spend time, my first time on Sabbath morning is my habitual private time with God. And then, of course, we have breakfast and we go to Sabbath school and church. Now, I just want to say here, and I don't think it's necessary, but I hope that you go to Sabbath school. Oh, you might say, but nobody comes. Or it's boring. Never mind. Never mind. You just be there, won't you? Be in God's house, even if you're the only one. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And even more important, as we see the day of approaching. And so, please, don't let anything keep you from going to Sabbath school and church. Some people might say, well, I get a blessing from going to the woods. Or I get a blessing from going to the beach. Oh, but listen, I don't know whether you're going to take a nature walk or not, but a nature walk is not to be in place of being with God's people in His house. And don't forget that. You might say, well, when I go to church, the people are not friendly. Or when I go to church, I don't like what the pastor preaches. I don't agree with his theology. Then that's all the more reason for you to go to church. God is calling for men and women and young people today who will be intercessors. Please, if for no other reason than to represent God and to pray for the church while you're there. Now, what else are we going to do on Sabbath afternoon? Be creative. Be creative. But remember, it's an anniversary. And you know, when you celebrate your anniversary with your wife, you're only so creative. I'm going to use a ridiculous illustration. Usually for an anniversary with your wife, you would not bring an old girlfriend, would you? You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that the Sabbath is a special time with God. Therefore, don't bring into the Sabbath that which would not be uniquely special just between you and Him. Now, some people say, well, is it all right to take a nap on Sabbath afternoon? Well, now, this is my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong. But I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a nap on Sabbath afternoon. But I would counsel you against sleeping the whole afternoon. If you sleep all Sabbath afternoon, you'll be cheating yourself. Now, I think to sleep for an hour to be refreshed, there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know, life is such a grind. It gets to be so routine that the person who works till Friday, sleeps all day Sabbath, and goes back to work Sunday is in worse condition for as much sleep, because psychologically and mentally, he never had a break. You see, we need more than physical rest on Sabbath. We need a change. A change of activity, different activities to keep us healthy spiritually and physically. I want to suggest something else, by the way, that I think is a big cause of our problem. If I were to ask you right now what you're going to do tomorrow, providing it's not Sabbath, could you tell me? Probably so. If someone were to say to me, what are you going to do next Wednesday? I'd say, well, next Wednesday I'm going to do this and this and this. Somebody could say, what are you going to do Sunday? I could say, well, that's easy. I plan to do this in the morning and this in the afternoon. But you know something? If somebody asks most of us what we're going to do on Sabbath afternoon, we don't know. And that's where we get into trouble. We should plan what we are going to do on Sabbath afternoon. We should plan on Friday or on the Wednesday before. Let's not leave Sabbath afternoon to the moment, because very likely we will miss the mark and cheat ourselves of the blessing that God has for us. Now, if you live on the 20th floor of an apartment building in some large city, and I talk to you about a nature walk, hey, I'm just whistling in the dark. You probably won't be able to do that. But if we can, we should expose ourselves to the wonders of God. For some of us, it might be by just looking and studying a little bit of God's nature. Maybe we can't get out and walk, but we should be creative, knowing that God manifests Himself to us in nature and in His Word and as we fellowship with His people. I would recommend, and maybe some of you have tried it, try to use some Sabbath afternoons to visit the shut-ins. I have a tremendous burden on my heart for our dear grandmas and grandpas and great-grandpas who are shut-in or who are in convalescent homes. If you want to glorify God, remember, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the widows. If you want a special blessing on Sabbath afternoon, then won't you consider visiting the shut-ins or the discouraged? Now, I won't just tell you every move to make. If your church has Vespers, please try to go. If your church doesn't have Vespers, then you block in a little time in your own life there, in your own home. Maybe you're the only one at home who even keeps the Sabbath, but just set apart that little time to say goodbye to the Sabbath. Now, let me say something at this point that is very important. Many times we will, by our behavior on Saturday night, we will undo and erase the blessing that we have gained from the because we will tend sometimes to keep the Sabbath holy, but on Saturday night, listen, you can watch a program on television on Saturday night that will nullify the spiritual blessings that God gave you during His holy day. For this reason, I would recommend to you, don't run away from the Sabbath, but walk away slowly. In fact, if I might even exaggerate so much, you might even crawl away. You know, when we're waiting at a red light for the light to change and we've been anxious and we've been watching the clock, we're in a hurry, we'll gun it and we'll go speeding down the road. When the Sabbath's over, don't gun it. You could lose the blessing. There remains a rest for the people of God. The Sabbath is a symbol. It's an opportunity to experience that rest, to experience peace, to understand what Jesus said when He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As your experience with God grows during the week, the Sabbath will become more and more precious to you. Remember, a wedding anniversary doesn't mean anything to a couple whose love for each other has cooled off. Yet their anniversary will mean more and more as they grow closer to each other. And as their love for each other grows. Let us, dear ones, therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you, you and I, should come short of it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. For there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, we want to thank You, dear God, for the Sabbath. You knew we needed it. Because, God, the world goes so fast and the temptations and trials are so many that we have to be given the opportunity to get back into Your arms of love often, Lord, not just once a year, but often. Lord, we recognize that we have not clearly understood the blessings that You have for us. For so many of us, it's been what you can't do. Oh, Lord, teach us how we can love You more every Sabbath. And how we can honor and glorify our relationship to You on this holy day. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.